Ryan didn't get your email until he turned in, Sawyer says. It was too late to let everyone know you were on your way back. So Anna and Gail don't know, I ask.
No, sir.
Okay. We're quiet for the rest of the short journey, each of us with our own haunting thoughts. If Anna had been home, she'd have been in the panic room with Gail, and Ryan would have had backup and wouldn't have had to face hide alone. Why can't she do as she's told? Sawyer parks the Audi in the garage, and both Taylor and I fly out of the car and into the elevator. Glad we came home when we did, I say to Taylor.
Yes, sir.
He nods in agreement. What a fucking mess.
Indeed.
He remains tight-lipped. We should have a full debrief when everyone has had some sleep.
Agreed.
The elevator doors open and we spill out into the foyer, each of us with one goal, to check on our woman. I head straight for our bedroom, and I know that's exactly what Taylor is doing. I barrel down the hallway and into the room, grateful that the thick carpet absorbs the sound of my footsteps. Anna is fast asleep on my side of the bed. She's curled up in a small ball, wearing one of my t-shirts. She's here. She's fine. My relief almost brings me to my knees, but I stand and watch her. I can't risk touching her, as I know I'll wake her if I do. Wake her and bury myself in her. I wonder how drunk she was last night. Anna, Anna, Anna. What a shock to come back here to hide. I steel myself and brush my forefinger over her cheek. She mumbles something in her sleep and I freeze. I don't want to wake her. When she settles, I slink out and head back to the living room. I need a drink. As I pass the foyer door, I notice that it's hanging off its hinges. There are scuff marks over the walls, but no blood that I can see. Thank God. An altercation? It looks like it was a full-on fight. And Hyde had a gun. He could have murdered Ryan right here in my home. The thought is sickening. In the living room, I head over to the bar cart and pour myself a Laphroaig. I toss the contents of the glass down in one swallow, appreciating the burn as it sears my throat, the warmth spreading downward and joining the maelstrom in my gut. I take a deep breath and pour another, larger glass and head back into the bedroom. I should really get some sleep, but I'm too wired and too mad. No, not mad. I'm raging. The sanctity of my home invaded by that cocksucking motherfucking asshole. Quietly, I drag the bedroom chair from its position by the window to my side of the bed. Sitting down, I watch Anna sleep as I slowly sip my scotch and pinch the bridge of my nose, trying to quiet the ferocious storm inside me. It doesn't work. He wanted to harm my wife. That's the only conclusion I can come to. Kidnap her? Kill her? To get back at me? And Anna? She wasn't here, where I asked her to be, told her to be. My anger simmers, curdling into bitter rage, and I have no outlet, only this drink and the fire it leaves in its wake with each sip. I recross my legs and tap my finger against my lip as I think of all the ways I'd like to end Hyde. Strangulation, suffocation, beat him to death, shoot him. I have Leela's gun. And punish Anna for not doing as she's told. Paddle, flogger. Cane, belt. But I can't. She won't let me. Fuck. As dawn breaks, it gradually lights the room. Anna stirs and her eyes flutter open. Her lips part as she gasps in surprise when she realizes I'm sitting and watching her.
Hi,
she whispers. I finish my drink and place the glass on the bedside table while I contemplate what I'm going to say to her. Hello, I murmur, and it feels like someone else is talking, someone robotic, someone without feeling.
You're back.
It would appear so. She sits up, eyes bright and blue and lovely.
How long have you been sitting there watching me sleep?
Long enough. You're still mad, she whispers. Oh, I wish I was just mad. Robotic me says the word out loud, testing it, but it's not enough. No, Anna, I am way, way beyond mad.
Way beyond mad? That doesn't sound good.
No, it's not. We gaze at each other, and I wish I could stand up and yell and scream and tell her how I feel, how disappointed and relieved I am, how frightened I am, how fucking furious I am. I don't think I've ever experienced the depth of these conflicting feelings that plague me right now, but robotic me doesn't know what to do. All systems are offline, trying to contain my rage. She reaches over, grabs her glass, and takes a sip of water.
Ryan caught Jack, she says, placing the glass back down.
I know. Her brow creases.
Are you going to be monosyllabic for long?
Is she trying to be funny? Yes, I respond, because it's all I can manage. Her frown deepens.
I'm sorry I stayed out.
Are you?
No.
Why say it, then?
Because I don't want you to be mad at me.
It's too late for that, Anna. I sigh and run a hand through my hair.
I think Detective Clark wants to talk to you,
she says. I'm sure he does.
Christian, please.
Please what?
Don't be so cold.
Cold? Anastasia, cold is not what I'm feeling at the moment. I'm burning. Burning with rage. I don't know how to deal with these. I wave my hand, seeking inspiration. Feelings. Her eyes widen farther, and before I can stop her, she clambers out of bed and onto my lap. It's so unexpected, a welcome, disarming diversion from my rage. Slowly and carefully, so I don't break her, I wrap my arms around her and bury my nose in her hair, inhaling her unique Anna scent. She's here. She's okay. My throat burns with my unshed tears of gratitude. Thank heaven she's safe. She embraces me and kisses my neck. Oh, Mrs. Gray, what am I going to do with you? My voice is hoarse, and I kiss the top of her head.
How much have you had to drink?
Why?
You don't normally drink hard liquor.
This is my second glass. I've had a trying night, Anastasia. Give a man a break. I sense her smile.
If you insist, Mr. Gray.
She nuzzles my throat once more.
You smell heavenly. I slept on your side of the bed because your pillow smells of you.
Oh, Anna. I kiss her hair. Did you know? I wondered why you were on this side. I'm still mad at you.
I know,
she whispers. My hand moves rhythmically down her back. Touching her brings me solace and starts to ground me in the now.
And I'm mad at you, she says.
I stop caressing her back. And what, pray, have I done to deserve your ire?
I'll tell you later when you're no longer burning with rage.
She kisses my neck, and I close my eyes and hold her tight. I never want to let her go. I could have lost her. She could have been killed by that asshole. When I think of what might have happened, I squeeze the words past the knot of fury that's still lodged in my throat.
I'm okay.
Oh, Anna. I choke out, and I want to cry.
I'm okay. We're all okay. A bit shaken. But Gail is fine, Ryan is fine, and Jack is gone.
No thanks to you, I mutter. She leans back and glares at me.
What do you mean?
I don't want to argue about it right now, Anna. I think she's weighing my words, and for whatever reason, she cuddles into me once more. She wouldn't if she knew the truth. She knows the truth. She knows me. The bad seed. She's seen the monster. I want to punish you, I whisper, like it's a deep, dark confession. Really beat the shit out of you. She stills.
I know,
she whispers. That's not what I expect her to say. Maybe I will.
I hope not,
she says, her voice quiet but unwavering. I sigh. It's never going to happen. This I know, and I reconciled myself to that when she came back after leaving me. But I want to. Really fucking want to. But she left the last time I did. Now she's my wife, and here we are. I hug her tighter.
Anna, you'd try the patience of a saint. I could accuse you of many things, Mr. Gray, but being a saint isn't one of them.
And there she is, my girl. I chuckle, and though it sounds hollow even to my ears, it's cathartic. Fair point well made as ever, Mrs. Gray. I kiss her forehead. Back to bed. You had a late night, too. I pick her up and deposit her back on the bed.
Lie down with me,
she says, her eyes imploring me to stay. No, I have things to do. I reach for my empty glass. Go back to sleep. I'll wake you in a couple of hours.
Are you still mad at me?
Yes.
I'll go back to sleep then.
Good. I tuck her in and kiss her forehead. Sleep. I stride out of the room before I change my mind, and I know that I'm running from her because she has the power to wound me like no other. If Hyde had gotten to her, shit, her absence from this world would hurt me more than anything I've experienced so far. I wander into the kitchen, deposit the glass by the sink, and head into my study. I need an action plan. I scribble down everything that I need to do, then send Andrea an email to cancel my meetings in Washington, D.C. I tell her I've had to return to Seattle, but can still have the meetings via WebEx or phone. I press send, knowing that once the news cycle picks up on Hyde's arrest, it will be self-explanatory. I pull out Hyde's file to have another look through the information Welch has provided to see if there are any clues to Hyde's insanity. I keep coming back to one detail that's been nagging at me since I read it the first time. I wonder if it's a coincidence or material to this mess. Jackson Jack Daniel Hyde. Date of birth, February 26th, 1979, Brightmoor, Detroit, Michigan. Hell. I'm so tired my brain is fried, but I know I won't sleep. I need some fresh air to clear the fear and anxiety from my system. Quietly, I sneak into the closet and change into my running gear, but before I go out, I check on Anna. She's fast asleep. With my iPod strapped to my arm, I head down to the lobby in the elevator. As the doors open, I note the two photographers outside. I slip through the rear doors to the utility area, then through a series of corridors and out into the passage behind the building. I hit the early morning streets of Seattle, the Verve's bittersweet symphony playing loud and proud through my earbuds. I run and run and run down Fifth Avenue to Vine. I run past Anna's old apartment where Kate Cavanaugh should be sleeping off her hangover. I run along Western, veering off to go through Pike Place Market. It's grueling, but I don't stop until I'm back outside Escala, and then I do it all over again. I return a sweaty mess with my mariner's cap pulled low over my face. I make my way unrecognized through the press gathered outside the building and safely into the elevator. Mrs. Jones is in the kitchen. Gail, how are you? I ask as soon as I see her.
Good, Mr. Gray. Glad you and Taylor are back.
Tell me what happened. As I fill and drink a glass of water, she gives me a quick run-through of last night's events. How Ryan ushered her into the panic room, and afterward, once Hyde was caught, what happened with the police and paramedics.
I never thought we'd have to use that room.
I'm glad I had it installed.
Yes, sir. I'm grateful, too. Do you want a coffee?
Not yet. I'll have some orange juice for Anna. She smiles.
Coming right up.
Is Taylor awake?
No, sir.
Good. Let him rest. She hands me the juice, and I leave her to go wake Anna. She's still asleep. There's some orange juice for you here. I place it on her bedside table and she stirs. Her eyes are on me, her teeth toying with her bottom lip. I'm going to take a shower, I mutter and leave. I strip quickly, leaving my clothes on the bathroom floor. My run has done little to improve my temper. I start washing my hair vigorously and mentally run through a checklist of what I have to do this morning. I sense Anna before I hear her. She closes the shower door, then steps up behind me and places her arms around me. I stiffen at her touch. Everywhere. Don't touch me. Ignoring my reaction, she pulls me closer so that I feel her warm, naked body against me. She presses her cheek to my back. We're skin on skin, and it's unbearable. I'm too mad at you right now. I'm too mad at myself. I shift so we're both under the water and continue rinsing the suds out of my hair. She presses her lips against me in small, soft kisses. No. Anna, I caution her. Stop. I burn for her. But my thoughts are too dark. I'm too angry. Her hand skims down over my belly, and I know what she has in mind. But I want none of it. I want all of it. All of her. No! I place both of mine on hers and shake my head. Don't, I whisper. She steps back immediately, as if I've slapped her. So I turn around and her eyes flit to my erection. It's just biology, baby. I clasp her chin. I'm still fucking mad at you, I whisper, and rest my forehead against hers, closing my eyes. And I'm fucking mad at myself. I should have stayed in Seattle. She reaches up and strokes my cheek, and I desperately want to give in to her tender touch.
Don't be mad at me, please. I think you're overreacting,
she says. What? I straighten, so her hand falls to her side and glare at her. Overreacting? I rant. Some fucking lunatic gets into my apartment to kidnap my wife, and you think I'm overreacting? She gazes up at me, but she doesn't back away.
No, that's not what I was referring to. I thought this was about me staying out.
Oh. I close my eyes. I left her for one night, and she could have been kidnapped or worse, murdered by that asshole.
Christian, I wasn't here.
She whispers in the gentlest of tones. I know. I open my eyes, feeling hopeless and worthless at once. And all because you can't follow a simple fucking request. I don't want to discuss this now in the shower. I am still fucking mad at you, Anastasia. You're making me question my judgment. I leave her and grab a towel as I stalk out of the bathroom. I want to hang on to my anger. It protects me and keeps her away from me. It keeps me safe. Safe from more complex and difficult feelings. I towel myself dry. I'm still damp as I dress, but I don't give a damn. I storm out of the closet and along the corridor to the kitchen.
Coffee?
Gail calls after me as I head toward my study. Please. At my desk, I look once more through Hyde's background check. There's something here. I can feel it. Gail appears and leaves a black coffee on my desk.
Thanks.
I take a sip. It's hot and dark. Damn, it tastes good. I call Welch.
Good morning, Gray. I hear you're back in Seattle,
Welch says. I am. Who told you?
I just got an update from Taylor.
So you've heard about Hyde?
Yes. I've put a call into my contact at King County PD. Find out what's going on.
Thanks.
And I've heard from the FBI.
There's a knock at my door and Anna stands in the doorway, wearing the purple dress that reveals every womanly curve she possesses. Her hair is in a bun and there are diamonds in her ears. She looks prim and proper, hiding her inner freak, and it's arousing as hell. I shake my head, dismissing her, noting the downturn of her mouth as she turns away.
Sorry, Welch, what did you say?
The FBI. There's a match. The partial print in the EC-135.
It's Hyde?
Yes, sir. The FBI uncovered his convictions as a minor in Detroit.
Detroit again?
They match, he says. Though those documents are supposed to be sealed, which is why it's taken a few days.
What does that mean?
They may be inadmissible.
Shit, really? Well, there's also the footage we have of Hyde outside of Scala that Prescott found earlier this week. It's obvious he was checking the place out. And of course, the CCTV from GEH's server room.
The police have been wanting to question him about the incident at GEH, but they hadn't been able to locate him.
They have him now.
Indeed.
Welch growls.
And the two investigations are going to compare Hyde's prints for a match.
About time. Did you get anything out of his former assistants?
No, they're reluctant to talk. They all say he was an excellent boss.
I find that hard to believe.
Agreed, given the hushed-up harassment claims.
Welch mutters.
We've only spoken to four. I'll keep pushing.
Okay.
What do you want to do about the heightened security around your family?
Let's keep it for now and see where this goes with Hyde. We have no idea if he's working alone or with someone.
Okay. I'll report back when I've heard from my contact.
Great. Thanks. I check my emails. There's one from Sam letting me know that he's been inundated with press inquiries about last night. I respond, telling him to send all inquiries to the King County PD press office. Taylor enters.
Good morning, sir.
Did you get some sleep?
He blows out a breath.
A few hours? Enough.
Good. We have a great deal to cover. He pulls up a chair and we run through my to-do list. And finally get a carpenter to fix the door.
Will do. Briefing at 10 with the entire team. I'll let them know,
Taylor says.
Please.
Sawyer and Ryan are in their racks. I'm assuming they're still asleep. Prescott is sifting through the CCTV from last night to find out how Hyde got into the building.
Good.
Sir,
he says, in a way that gets my immediate attention.
Yes? I'm grateful we came home last night. Maybe you have a sixth sense or something.
I'm taken aback. Taylor, I was just mad at my wife. His sudden smile is wry and world-weary.
Happens to us all, sir.
I nod, but his words are not reassuring. He's divorced. Don't go there, Gray. Thank God Anna and Gail are safe, I add as I get up. I'm hungry for my breakfast.
Yes, sir.
He follows me out of the study.
I've made you an omelet,
Gail says to me, and she gives us both a huge smile. Maybe Taylor and Gail will tie the knot. Who knows? Ignoring them, I take a seat at the kitchen counter, and once Taylor has left the room, I ask Gail if Anna ate.
She did, Mr. Gray. An omelet, too.
Good. As if I've conjured her by mentioning her name, Anna appears in the doorway wearing her jacket.
You're going?
I ask in disbelief.
To work? Yes, of course.
She moves closer.
Christian, we've hardly been back a week. I have to go to work.
But I rake my hand through my hair, feeling anxious. What about yesterday? Hyde, the kidnapping. Out of the corner of my eye, I notice Gail leave the kitchen.
I know we have a great deal to talk about,
Anna continues.
Perhaps if you've calmed down, we can do it this evening.
Calmed down? I whisper, and I'm immediately incandescent again. This woman is pressing every single button I have this morning. She flushes, embarrassed.
You know what I mean.
No, Anastasia, I don't know what you mean.
I don't want to fight. I was coming to ask you if I could take my car.
No, you can't. I snap.
Okay,
she says, quietly. And just like that, all the wind is out of my sails, and I'm no longer mad, just tired. I was expecting a battle. Prescott will accompany you. My tone is softer.
Okay,
she says, and she steps toward me again. Anna, what are you doing? She leans up and kisses me sweetly at the corner of my mouth. As her lips press against my skin, I close my eyes, savoring her touch. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve her.
Don't hate me,
she whispers. I grab her hand. I don't hate you. Anna, I could never hate you.
You haven't kissed me,
she whispers. I know. But I want to. Damn, Gray, carpe diem. Standing abruptly, I grasp her face between my hands and raise her mouth to mine. Her lips part in surprise and I pounce, pushing my tongue into her mouth, tasting and testing her. She tastes of heaven and better times and minty toothpaste. Anna, I love you. You just drive me crazy. I release her before she can properly respond. I know she'll never get to work if I don't back away. I'm breathing harder. Taylor will take you and Prescott to SIP. I fight to recover my composure and dampen my desire. Anna blinks at me, her breathing labored too. Taylor? I call.
Sir.
Taylor is standing in the doorway. Tell Prescott Mrs. Gray is going to work. Can you drive them, please?
Certainly.
Taylor turns on his heel and disappears. Feeling more myself, I look back at Anna. If you could try to stay out of trouble today, I would appreciate it. I mutter.
I'll see what I can do.
Her eyes shine with amusement, and it's impossible not to respond. I'll see you later then, I reply.
Laters,
she whispers, and leaves with Taylor and Prescott in tow. After breakfast, I head back into my study and call Andrea. I tell her I'll be working from home, as I wasn't planning to be in the office anyway. She puts me through to Sam, and we have a tedious discussion about owning the message with regard to Hyde's break-in.
No, we don't, Sam, not in this instance.
But,
he protests.
No buts. This is a police matter. All press inquiries about this incident to them. End of discussion.
He sighs. Sam is such a publicity whore.
Very well, Mr. Gray.
He sounds sullen, but I don't care. I hang up and call my dad to tell him about Hyde. We agree to keep the security for the next week, just in case.
Will you tell Mom?
Yes, son. You take care.
Will do. I hang up and my phone buzzes with a text from Elliot.
Yo, bro, you okay? Hyde, fuck!
He's brief and to the point, as ever. He must have seen the news, or Anna's told Kate. I call to fill him in on events, and we agree to meet up over the weekend. He wants to talk about something, but not over the phone.
Whatever, dude, I say.
And by the way, your girlfriend has been leading my wife astray. She should have been here in the panic room. Instead, she was out getting drunk with Catherine.
Catherine, eh?
Kate, I roll my eyes. Whatever.
And you're telling me this why?
I don't know, dude. Just sharing my thoughts.
Elliot sighs.
You'll have to take it up with her.
Oh, have they split up? What does that mean?
He continues before I can ask any questions.
This guy who follows me around, do I still need him?
Let's see what happens with Hyde over the next few days.
Okay, Hotshot. It's your money.
Laters, Elliot. Ryan and Sawyer give Taylor and me a full debrief. I can't decide if Ryan is a hero or an idiot for letting Hyde into the apartment. His face is pretty battered, and he has a cut over one eye after their altercation. Judging from his bruised face, he must have had quite the skirmish with our intruder. He says he only let Hyde in because Anna wasn't here. I glance at Taylor, whose mouth is set in a grim line. Ryan put Gail at risk, panic room or not. The good news is that Prescott, before she left this morning, located the CCTV footage of Hyde arriving in the basement garage. His van is still down there. I ask Sawyer to let Detective Clark know.
Yes, sir. Is that all?
Taylor asks Ryan and Sawyer.
Yes, sir,
they say in unison.
Thank you for everything.
I tell them. I'm grateful you caught the bastard, Ryan. I felt an enormous sense of satisfaction knowing I brought the guy down. Let's hope the police charge him, I add. Ryan and Sawyer leave. I have a carpenter arriving in about half an hour to repair the broken door, Taylor informs me. Good. I'm going to scour what was on Hyde's computer to see if I can find any further clues as to what could be behind all this.
Sir, we have a potential problem, Taylor says.
What?
Technically, Ryan did grant Hyde access to the apartment.
I pale. Only under unique circumstances, and Hyde was armed.
True, but it's something to bear in mind when speaking with the cops.
Yes, agreed. Talk to Ryan.
Will do.
Taylor, take the night off. Gail, too. In fact, all of you.
Mr. Gray,
you had a very late night and little sleep, as did Sawyer and Prescott watching my wife last night.
Taylor looks grim. I'd like to leave Ryan on lookout. He's in no fit state to go out.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Taylor nods and exits while I turn my attention to my computer, specifically the files that Barney recovered from Hyde's hard drive. At 10:45, I stop combing through his creepy, obsessive collection of all things Gray and log on to WebEx. Vanessa is online, too, and we start our conference with the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's a brief and convivial chat, and GEH is co-opted onto a task force that will examine the issue of conflict minerals in tech. When we hang up with the SEC, Vanessa informs me that she's located Sebastian Miller, the truck driver who rescued Roz and me when Charlie Tango went down. She's introduced him to our logistics team, and he'll shortly become an affiliate with the haulage contractor that GEH uses.
That's great news.
Mr. Gray, he was stunned to get the call.
I bet. Thanks for tracking him down. When that's over, I call Senator Blandino.
Our conversation is short, and we resolve to have lunch next time she's in Seattle. Taylor is standing in the doorway when I finish the call.
Yes? Detective Clark is here, sir.
Show him in. Detective Clark has a firm handshake and a curmudgeonly hangdog appearance.
Mr. Gray, thank you for seeing me.
Please, sit. I direct him to the chair in front of my desk.
Thank you. I was hoping to get a brief history of your dealings with Jackson Hyde.
Of course. I explain that I own SIP and that Anna used to work for him until he was fired, and all the circumstances around that, including my run-in with him at SIP.
You assaulted him?
Clark's eyebrows are raised. I taught him some manners. He attacked my wife.
I see.
If you check his employment history, he has a track record of being fired for assaulting his female colleagues.
You think he's behind the GEH arson attempt?
I do. We have the CCTV from Gray House.
Yes, I've seen it. And thank you for the CCTV from the garage. The forensic team have been examining the van.
Did they find anything?
This.
He pulls out a plastic evidence bag. In it is a note. He shows it to me so I can read the note through the bag. It's scrawled in black Sharpie.
Gray, do you know who I am? Because I know who you are, baby bird.
I look at the words blankly.
What a weird note.
Do you know what this means?
Clark asks. I shake my head. No idea. He slides it back into the inside breast pocket of his jacket.
I have some more questions for Mrs. Gray. How is she?
She's good. She's remarkably tough.
Is she here?
She's at work. You could phone her.
I see. I prefer a more hands-on approach. I'd like to talk to her again face to face.
Clark grunts. I'm sure I can make that happen. Given the intense press interest in my wife and me, I would request that you go to her office.
I can do that.
He nods and sits quietly while I send a quick email to Hannah to see when Anna might be free. Hyde had a gun. Does he have a license for it?
We're checking.
Have you spoken with the FBI team investigating the sabotage of my helicopter?
We've been in touch.
Good. I suspect he might be behind that, too.
He does seem a little obsessed.
A little? I tell him about Hyde's computer hard drive and all the information he had accumulated about my family. Clark frowns.
Interesting. Can we have access to that?
By all means. I'll ask my IT people to send it to you. My computer pings, announcing a response from Hannah. My wife is free at 3 this afternoon at her office.
Excellent. Well, I won't keep you, Mr. Gray.
He stands, as do I. I'm relieved you have him, and hopefully he'll stay behind bars for a long time. Clark's smile is menacing, and I suspect he's thinking the same.
Great view you have from up here, he says.
Thank you. Taylor shows him out, and I compose an email. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 26th, 2011, 1304. Statement. Anastasia, Detective Clark will be visiting your office today at 3 p.m. to take your statement. I have insisted that he should come to you, as I don't want you going to the police station. Christian Gray, CEO. I go back to searching through the contents of Hyde's computer. An email arrives from Anna. She writes, okay, and signs it with a kiss. At least I get a kiss. I open up Hyde's files once more. He has a great deal about Carrick in one of the files. Why is he so interested in my dad? I don't get it. Notification of an email from Anna pops up on my screen.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 26th, 2011, 1324. Your flight. What time did you decide to come back to Seattle yesterday? Anastasia Gray, editor.
The kiss is missing. I respond to her question. Why?
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 26th, 2011, 1329. Your flight. Call it curiosity. Anastasia Gray, editor.
What is she trying to find out? I send a glib answer. Curiosity killed the cat.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 26th, 2011, 1335. Huh? What is that oblique reference to? Another threat? You know where I am going with this, don't you? Did you decide to return because I went out for a drink with my friend after you asked me not to, or did you return because a madman was in your apartment? Anastasia Gray, editor.
Hell. I stare at the screen, uncertain what to say. It wasn't a threat. Jesus. She knows I came back before I knew about Hyde. If she doesn't, she hasn't done the time zone math. What can I say? I'm staring blankly out of the window when Mrs. Jones knocks on my office door.
Would you like some lunch?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Gail.
Very good, Mr. Gray.
With a polite smile, she leaves me with my thoughts. I'm still trying to think of something to respond to Anna when I hear the ping of a new message arriving from my iMac.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 26th, 2011, 1356. Here's the thing. I will take your silence as an admission that you did indeed return to Seattle because I changed my mind. I am an adult female and went for a drink with my friend. I did not understand the security ramifications of changing my mind because you never tell me anything. I found out from Kate that security has, in fact, been stepped up for all the Grays, not just us. I think you generally overreact where my safety is concerned, and I understand why. But you're like the boy crying wolf. I never have a clue about what is a real concern or merely something that is perceived as a concern by you. I had two of the security detail with me. I thought both Kate and I would be safe. Fact is, we were safer in that bar than at the apartment. Had I been fully informed of the situation, I would have taken a different course of action. I understand your concerns are something to do with material that was on Jack's computer here, or so Kate believes. Do you know how annoying it is to find out my best friend knows more about what's going on with you than I do? And I am your wife. So are you going to tell me, or will you continue to treat me like a child, guaranteeing that I continue to behave like one? You are not the only one who is fucking pissed, okay? Anna. Anastasia Gray, editor.
Cursing and shouty capitals, too. Two can play at that game. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 26, 2011, 1359. Here's the thing. As ever, Mrs. Gray, you are forthright and challenging in email. Perhaps we can discuss this when you get home to our apartment. You should watch your language. I am still fucking pissed, too. Christian Gray, CEO. Fuck it. I don't want an email fight with Anna. I storm out of my office and into the living area. My temper eases at the sight of the cold chicken salad that Mrs. Jones has prepared for my lunch. Maybe I'm so mad because I'm hungry. Thanks. I mumble.
I'm going to the Greek deli that Mrs. Gray likes to pick up her favorite foods from there for this evening. She'll just have to pop them in the oven or microwave to heat them up.
Great, I say, distracted. Why are Anna and I always fighting these days?
Mr. Gray.
Mrs. Jones is trying to get my attention. Yes.
Thank you for this evening, but I must say you look tired. Have you thought about taking a quick nap?
I frown. A nap? I'm not a child. No.
It's just an idea.
I'll take it under advisement. I mutter and bring my salad into my office. Welch calls while I'm eating.
Welch? Interesting development in the Hyde case.
He rasps in his gruff voice.
Turns out Hyde's van in the garage was kitted out with a mattress and enough ketamine to fell a Texas rodeo.
Ketamine? Shit. I was right.
Yes, sir. And syringes.
I grimace. I loathe syringes. Welch continues.
Looks like our boy will be charged with attempted kidnapping first degree. They'll probably throw in criminal trespass, robbery, and illegal possession of a firearm, too. Also, there was a note.
Clark showed me the note.
Mean anything to you?
No, and Hyde left it in the van. Maybe he changed his mind about that because it's nonsensical.
Maybe. He was delivering lights to one of the new tenants in the building.
Welch growls. Delivering lights? What do you mean?
Yes. He was working for a courier company. The client lives at apartment 16.
Oh, yes, I've met him. Young guy. That's how Hyde got access. He's a wily bastard.
That he is, sir.
Welch agrees.
One more thing. I've heard from King County PD and the FBI. The Prince match.
We have him.
It looks like it.
There must be a Detroit connection, but I'm damned if I know what it is. I mutter.
I'll keep digging.
Welch responds.
That's it for now.
Thanks for the update. He hangs up, and I look at the remains of my lunch. My appetite has evaporated. What the hell did that evil motherfucker have planned for my wife? Kidnap, rape, murder. And he had syringes. Perhaps he was going to inject her with a filthy, dirty syringe. Bile rises in my throat, but I swallow it down. Fuck. I have to get out of here and get some fresh air. Abandoning my lunch, I walk out through the living room and, ignoring Gail's anxious look, take the elevator down to the main lobby. The photographers have gone, so I slip out the front entrance and walk, and walk, and walk. Life in the Emerald City goes on. People are going about their business. The streets are crowded, but I manage to weave my way through the throng. My poor wife. He could have killed her. If I ever get my hands on that evil, twisted asshole, I will end him. Once more, I imagine all the ways I could do that. Shit. Gray, get a grip. I'm outside Nordstrom. Maybe I should buy something for Anna. Anything. I check that my wallet's in my back pocket and head in. I'm in the scarf section. A silk scarf. Yeah, that works. I'm calmer when I get back to the apartment.
You didn't like your lunch? Would you like something else?
Gail offers. No, thanks. I think I'll take your advice. I'm going to lie down. I'm exhausted. Gail's smile is sympathetic. Once in our bedroom, I take off my shoes, lie down, and close my eyes. Anna is laid out before me, naked. She holds out her arms.
You can do anything you want to me. A punishment fuck.
She's in the harness, in the playroom.
What will you do to me?
I stand behind her, a cane in my hand. Whatever I want. She's on the table, face down. She cannot move. She's tied. I slap a paddle against my hand. Her buttocks clench in anticipation. She's on her knees, her forehead pressed to the floor, her hands tied behind her back. I want your mouth, your cunt, your ass, your body, your soul. She kneels before me.
I'm yours. I will always be yours, husband of mine. Mine. Yours.
I wake, disoriented. I'm at home. It's late afternoon by the look of the light. I check the time. It's 5:30. Anna won't be home yet. I rub my face and walk into the bathroom, a plan hatching in my mind. I'm anticipating one hell of a fight. Anna says she's pissed at me. In the closet, I remove my shirt, replace it with a t-shirt, and change into my playroom jeans in readiness for her return. I tuck the new scarf into my pocket. Maybe we can both get what we want. In my office, I print out her email and notice that she hasn't sent me any messages since our last exchange. My wife does not back down from a challenge. This evening will be interesting. Gail is absent, as is Taylor. Idly, I wonder what they are doing. Ryan is in Taylor's office. He stands when I enter.
Good evening, Mr. Gray.
You can hang out upstairs. I'd like to give everyone the night off. We'll call you if we need you. He hesitates before agreeing.
Okay, sir.
And with that, I wander back into the living room and over to the piano to await my wife's return. Behind me, the late afternoon sun is drifting toward the horizon, and I'm in my corner of the ring, waiting for the match to start. Gloves on, mouth guard in. How many rounds will I go with Mrs. Gray? The soft ping of the elevator rings through the foyer. She's here. Showtime, Gray. The thud of Anna's briefcase hitting the floor in the hall is followed by her footsteps into the living room. She stops when she sees me. Good evening, Mrs. Gray. Barefoot, I swagger toward her, like a gunfighter in an old black and white movie, my eyes fixed on her. Good to have you home. I've been waiting for you.
Have you now?
She whispers. She's as beautiful as she looked this morning, though her eyes are wide and wary. Her guard is up. Game on, Anna. I have, I answer.
I like your jeans,
she murmurs, eyeing me from head to toe. I wore them for you. I give her a wolfish grin and halt in front of her. She licks her lips and swallows, but she doesn't look away. I understand you have issues, Mrs. Gray. From my back pocket, I pull out her shouty-capped email and unfold it in front of her, trying to intimidate her with a look. I fail.
Yes, I have issues,
she responds, gazing at me, her manner forthright, but her voice betraying her, all breathy and sexy. Leaning down, I run my nose along hers, relishing the contact. Her eyes close and she utters the softest of sighs. So do I. I murmur against her fragrant skin. Her eyes flutter open and I straighten up.
I think I'm familiar with your issues, Christian.
She raises a brow, and humor hovers behind her eyes. I narrow mine.
Don't make me laugh, Anna.
I remember her saying that to me not so long ago. She takes a step back.
Why did you fly back from New York?
She asks, her voice kitten soft, belying the lioness I know. You know why.
Because I went out with Kate?
Because you went back on your word and you defied me, putting yourself at unnecessary risk.
went back on my word. Is that how you see it?
Yes. She looks heavenward, then stops when she notices my scowl, but I'm not sure a spanking would be a good idea right now.
Christian,
she says in the same soft voice,
I changed my mind. I'm a woman. We're renowned for it. That's what we do.
When I don't respond, she continues.
If I had thought for 1 minute that you would cancel your business trip.
She stops, seemingly at a loss. You changed your mind.
Yes.
And you didn't think to call me.
How could you be so inconsiderate?
What's more, you left the security detail short here and put Ryan at risk. Her cheeks pink.
I should have called, but I didn't want to worry you. If I had, I'm sure you would have forbidden me to go, and I've missed Kate. I wanted to see her. Besides, it kept me out of the way when Jack was here. Ryan shouldn't have let him in.
But he did, and had you been here, fuck enough, Gray. I reach for her, pulling her into my arms.
Oh, Anna.
I whisper and hold her as close as I can. If something were to happen to you, he had a gun, he had a syringe.
It didn't,
she whispers. But it could have. I've died 1,000 deaths today thinking about what might have happened. I was so mad, Anna. Mad at you, mad at myself, mad at everyone. I can't remember being this angry, except...
Except?
She asks. Once in your old apartment, when Leela was there. Someone else with a fucking gun.
You were so cold this morning.
Her voice breaks into a sob on the last word.
No, Anna, don't cry.
I loosen my grip and tip her head up.
I don't know how to deal with this anger,
I whisper. I used to have a way, but that's lost to me now. Shit, don't go there, Gray. I gaze down into troubled blue eyes that draw the truth from me.
I don't think I want to hurt you.
That's why I was cold. I was raging. This morning I wanted to punish you badly, and... How do I explain that? I want to rage at the world, and you are my world.
You were worried you'd hurt me?
She asks. I didn't trust myself.
Christian, I know you'd never hurt me, not physically, anyway.
She clasps my face. Do you?
Yes. I knew what you said was an empty, idle threat. I know you're not going to beat the shit out of me.
I wanted to.
No, you didn't. You just thought you did.
I don't know if that's true.
Think about it,
she says, embracing me and nuzzling my chest.
About how you felt when I left. You've told me often enough what that did to you, how it altered your view of the world, of me. I know what you've given up for me. Think about how you felt about the cuff marks on our honeymoon.
She has a point. Thinking back, I felt like an asshole, and I don't want her to leave me again. She tightens her arms around me and gently rubs my back, and slowly, oh so slowly, my tension eases. She presses her cheek to my chest, and I can resist her no more. Leaning down, I kiss her hair, and she turns her face up, offering her mouth to me. I kiss her, my lips begging her to do as she's told, begging her not to go, begging her to stay. She kisses me back.
You have such faith in me,
I murmur.
I do.
I stroke her face, staring into her beautiful eyes, seeing her compassion, her love, and her desire. What did I do to deserve her? She smiles.
Besides,
she whispers, an impish look on her face.
You don't have the paperwork.
I laugh and clutch her to my chest.
You're right. I don't.
We hold each other, and a quiet peace settles between us. It's the first time I've felt any tranquility since my trip to New York. Is this the end of hostilities? Come to bed, I whisper.
Christian, we need to talk.
Later.
Christian, please, talk to me.
Damn. I sigh as my spirits sink. Perhaps we're just in the eye of the storm. About what? Even to my own ears, I sound petulant.
You know, you keep me in the dark.
I want to protect you.
I'm not a child.
I am fully aware of that, Mrs. Gray. I skim my hands over her body and fondle her backside, pressing my interested cock against her.
Christian!
She scolds.
Talk to me.
Anna is as persistent as ever. What do you want to know? Releasing her, I pick up her email that's fallen to the floor and take her hand.
Lots of things,
she says, as I lead her to the couch. Sit. She obeys and I take a seat beside her. Putting my head in my hands, I steel myself for her onslaught of questions. Then I turn to face her. Ask me.
Why the additional security for your family?
Hyde was a threat to them.
How do you know?
From his computer. It held personal details about me and the rest of my family, especially Carrick.
Carrick, why him?
I don't know yet. This feels like the Inquisition. I change tack. Let's go to bed.
Christian, tell me.
Tell you what?
You are so exasperating,
she says, holding up her hands. So are you. She sighs.
You didn't ramp up the security when you first found out there was information about your family on the computer. So what happened? Why now?
I didn't know he was going to attempt to burn down my building or... I stop. I don't want to tell her about Charlie Tango. She'll worry. I change tack again. We thought it was an unwelcome obsession, but you know... I shrug. When you're in the public eye, people are interested. It was random stuff. News reports on me from when I was at Harvard, my rowing, my career. Reports on Carrick, following his career, following my mom's career, and to some extent, Elliot and Mia. She frowns.
You said or.
Or what?
You said attempt to burn down my building, or... Like you were going to say something else?
She misses nothing.
Are you hungry?
I try distraction, and on cue, her stomach rumbles. Did you eat today? She flushes, and I have my answer. As I thought. You know how I feel about you not eating. Come. Standing, I hold out my hand, and my mood softens. Let me feed you.
Feed me?
I guide Anna over to the kitchen, and I grab a bar stool and drag it around to the other side of the island. Sit.
Where's Mrs. Jones?
Anna perches on the stool. I've given her and Taylor the night off.
Why?
She looks incredulous. They deserve an evening off after last night. Because I can. Simple.
So you're going to cook?
Now she sounds incredulous. Oh, ye of little faith, Mrs. Gray. Close your eyes. She looks at me, askance, still unsure. Close them. With a withering look, she complies. Not good enough. From my back pocket, I pull out the scarf I bought earlier, and I'm pleased to see it's a good match for her dress. She raises a brow. Close, no peeking.
You're going to blindfold me?
Her voice is soft and high-pitched. Yes.
Christian.
She's about to object, but I gently press a finger to her lips. We'll talk later. I want you to eat now. You said you were hungry. I skim my lips over hers, then place the scarf over her eyes, tying it behind her head. Can you see?
No.
She grumbles, lifting her head in that way she does when she rolls her eyes. It makes me chuckle. She's so predictable sometimes. I can tell when you're rolling your eyes, and you know how that makes me feel. She huffs and purses her lips.
Can we just get this over and done with?
Such impatience, Mrs. Gray. So eager to talk.
Yes.
I must feed you first. I place a soft kiss on her temple. She has no idea how hot she looks, perched primly on the stool, blindfolded and with her hair restrained in its bun. I'm almost tempted to grab my camera. But I must feed her. From the fridge, I extract a bottle of Sancerre and the various serving dishes into which Gail has transferred the Greek deli food. The lamb is in a Pyrex bowl. Shit, how long do I cook this for? I pop it in the microwave and set it to heat for 5 minutes on full power. That should be enough. I place 2 pitas in the toaster.
Yes, I am eager to talk,
Anna says, and the way she's tilting her head, it's obvious she's listening to what I'm doing. I grab the bottle of wine and a corkscrew as Anna shifts in her chair. Be still, Anastasia. I want you to behave, I murmur, close to her ear. And don't bite your lip. I tug her bottom lip free from her teeth and she smiles. Finally, a smile. I open the bottle, easing out the cork, and fill a glass. Now for some musical accompaniment. I switch on the surround speakers and select Chris Isaak's Wicked Game from the iPod. The pluck of a guitar string resonates through the room. Yes, this song works. I turn it down and pick up the glass of wine. A drink first, I think. I say, almost to myself. Head back. She lifts her chin. Farther. Anna obliges and I take a swig of cool, crisp wine and kiss her, pouring the wine into her mouth. She swallows. You like the wine?
Yes.
She breathes. More?
I always want more with you.
I grin. More. Our word. She grins too. Mrs. Gray, are you flirting with me?
Yes.
Good. I love it when she flirts with me. I take another large sip of wine, then, holding the knot of the scarf, gently tug her head back. I kiss her, drizzling the wine into her mouth. She drinks greedily. Hungry? I ask her against her lips.
I think we've already established that, Mr. Gray.
Her voice is dripping with sarcasm. Ah, there she is again, my girl. The microwave pings, announcing that the lamb is ready. Its appetizing aroma has filled the kitchen. I pick up a cloth, open the microwave door, and grab the dish. Shit Christ! It's scalding hot where my finger touches it without the cloth. I drop it, and it clatters on the counter.
You okay?
Anna asks.
Yes.
No. Ow. I abandon the dish, wanting some TLC. I just burned myself. Here. I ease my poor finger into her mouth. Maybe you could suck it better. Anna grabs my hand and slowly draws my finger out of her mouth.
There, there,
she whispers, and pouts prettily and blows gently on my smarting skin. Oh. She might as well be blowing on my dick. She kisses my knuckle twice, then slowly reinserts my digit into her mouth, her tongue cradling and sucking me. She might as well be sucking my dick. Lust surges like a tidal wave south. Anna. As she fillets my finger, her forehead creases. What are you thinking? I whisper, as I draw my finger out of her mouth and attempt to bring my body under control.
How mercurial you are.
This is not news. 50 Shades, baby. I plant a kiss at the corner of her mouth.
My 50 Shades.
She grabs my t-shirt and tugs me closer. Oh, no you don't, Mrs. Gray. No touching. Not yet. I pry her hand from my shirt and kiss each of her fingers. Sit up. Anna pouts. I will spank you if you pout. I stick a fork into the lamb dish, then into the accompanying sauce of yogurt and mint. Now open wide. She opens her mouth and I slide a forkful between her lips. She hums in appreciation. You like?
Yes.
I try some too, and it's a party of delicious flavors in my mouth. I realize how hungry I am. More? I ask Anna. She nods, and I feed her another forkful. While she's chewing, I tear some of the pita bread and dip it into the hummus. Open. Anna indulges me and eats this latest morsel with enthusiasm. I join her. This really is the best hummus in Seattle. More? I ask. She nods.
More of everything, please. I'm starving.
Her words are music to my soul. I feed her and myself, alternating between the bread and hummus and the lamb. Anna is lapping it up, thoroughly enjoying the feast, and it's a pleasure to watch her savor the food and to feed her. Occasionally, I offer her more wine, using my tried and trusted mouth-to-mouth technique. When the lamb is finished, I turn to the stuffed grape leaves. Open wide, then bite. She does.
I love these.
She mumbles with a full mouth. I agree. They're delicious. When I finish feeding her, she licks my fingers clean, one by one. More? My voice is husky. She shakes her head. Good. I murmur against her ear. Because it's time for my favorite course. You. I pick her up suddenly and she squeaks with surprise.
Can I take the blindfold off?
No. Playroom. Anna stills in my arms while I cradle her to my chest. You up for the challenge? I ask.
Bring it on,
she says, as I knew she would. She feels a little lighter in my arms as I carry her upstairs. I think you've lost weight, I mutter. She smiles, pleased, I think. Outside the playroom, I slide her down my body and onto her feet, keeping my arm around her waist while I unlock the door. I usher her inside, turning on the lights as we enter. In the middle of the room, I release her, undo the scarf, and slowly draw the hairpins from her bun, freeing her braid. Grasping it as it swings between her shoulder blades, I tug gently so she steps back against me. I have a plan, I whisper in her ear.
I thought you might,
she answers, as I kiss that spot beneath her ear where her pulse beats. Oh, Mrs. Gray, I do. Still holding her braid, I tilt Anna's head, exposing her neck, and skim my lips down her throat. First, we have to get you naked. When I turn her around, her eyes flit down to the unfastened top button on my jeans. Before I can stop her, she inserts her finger into the waistband, teasing the hair at the base of my belly. Ugh. She glances up at me from behind long lashes.
You should keep these on,
she says. I fully intend to, Anastasia. I fold her in my arms, one hand at her neck, the other splayed on her backside, and I kiss her, my tongue testing and tasting her. While we kiss, I walk her backward until she's against the playroom cross, where I press my body into hers. Her lips are greedy, her tongue as eager as mine. I pull back. Let's get rid of this dress. I grasp the hem and slowly divest her of her dress, revealing her body an inch at a time as I peel it off. Lean forward, I say, and she complies. The dress ends up on the floor as my wife stands before me in her seductive lingerie and her sandals. Threading my fingers through hers, I raise her hands over her head and incline mine in a question. Restraints, Anna? Her gaze is intense, missing nothing. I bathe in it, feeling it in my groin. She swallows and then nods. My sweet girl, she never lets me down. I clip her wrists in the leather cuffs above her head and take the scarf from my back pocket once more. Think you've seen enough, I whisper, and blindfold her again. I run my nose down hers and deliver a promise. I'm going to drive you wild. Grasping her hips, I run my hands down her body, removing her panties as I go. Lift your feet one at a time. She obliges and I remove her panties, then each of her sandals in turn. Sliding my fingers around her ankle, I tug her right leg to the right. Step. I order. She does, and I cuff her right ankle to the cross. I repeat the process with her left ankle, buckling her up tight. When she's secure, I stand and step close to her, bathing in her warmth and her growing excitement. Holding her chin, I plant a soft, chaste kiss on her lips. Some music and toys, I think. You look beautiful like this, Mrs. Gray. I may take a moment to admire the view. Stepping back, I do exactly that, knowing that the longer I look at her and do nothing, the wetter she'll get, and the harder I'll get. She is a mighty fine sight. But right now, I want to teach her about orgasm denial. I pad over to the drawers and pull out a wand and the iPod. There's a small tin of Tiger Balm beside the wand, and I contemplate spreading a little on her clitoris. That would heat her up. No, not right now. That's too next level. I switch on the music system and choose something unsettling to suit my mood. Yes, Bach. Aria from Goldberg Variations. Perfect. I press play, and the crisp